President of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
Jimmy." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
Jimmy." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
Did you hear that? Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Want to kick off the show tonight by giving you an update on the situation with Aftermath. A number of other things that have gone down that we don't approve of, but that's okay because we've now created GroundZeroPlus.com, where you can reach the next level by going to GroundZeroPlus.com. You can find out what happened. I would suggest you do that. That way you can look at the statements from Rob Davenport and from Rovitics Media, the decision to cease operations. It was not my decision. It was their decision to do so. They will claim that it was my decision, but I didn't make any decision. We were in the process of negotiating. And I think we still are in a way, but still, no. After what had happened here, it seems that negotiations have fallen apart. And we have Mark Masters now going in on our behalf to take care of, at least try and negotiate, along with lawyers and several other people. But if you'd like to go to groundzeroplus.com, hopefully this will be our new landing site for feeds and other things, old articles. You can still leave your email and how much time you have on your subscription there as well. Or you can go to groundzeroron@gmail.com, send them a little email and talk about it. Also, JP Bavenzi, who is on the Ground Zero Network, he is hosting a chat with me, chat with Clyde, on rumble.com. That'll be 2 p.m. Sunday. We'll keep you updated on that as well. A chat with Clyde Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific time. So that way, if we all want to talk and get a lot of stuff off our chest, we can do that. I'm sure there are a lot of people that, you know, want to know what's going on. And like I said, we're going to try to be as diplomatic as possible, even though it's hard to be in these times. But we're doing our best. And, you know, I just want to say this personally to all the listeners out there. I want to thank you so much for all of the support. I want to thank you so much for making this transition easy because, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can be very angry and not know where to vent their anger. But we are too. We're angry as well. We don't know where to vent our anger. The best thing for us to do is to move forward. The best thing for us to do is to try to be positive and understand that we're going to be doing a lot better and that we finally are in a situation where we can become the biggest show in December of 2025, as Mark Masters has said on the show last night. We're going to have him on again eventually to talk more about the progress of the show. Tonight, though, I want to do a show. I want to, you know, just do shows like we always do that we've been doing now for nearly 30 years, Ground Zero Radio, and it's because of you. Literally because of you that this show exists. It's existed this long. Word of mouth and not much promotion behind it, but people still respect it. They talk about it. I meet a lot of people who I've never thought a talk show host could be seen in public and still be people know who he is. And so I owe you for that for the rest of my life. However long the good Lord wants to keep me here, let's just put it that way. And I'm touched. I'm trying to hold back how happy and how stressful it's been and how much you have helped in keeping me from dropping to a nervous breakdown. I'll just put it that way. It's just been pretty hectic, even for Ron and the whole staff. So enough about that. GroundZeroPlus.com. Let's go to GroundZeroPlus.com. So when I was thinking about a show tonight, I was thinking about all of the things that have been happening that we've been hearing in the news, from plane crashes to volcano eruptions to earthquakes. And I got to thinking about my show I did called EnMod. What EnMod is environmental modification. Now, that's not too far from its cousin called geoengineering. But this modification is being done through electromagnetic manipulation. And it's the magnetic field that I'm worried about. You keep pushing the magnetic field to its limits, and I think that this is something that would contribute to the pole shift that a lot of people say is happening, but they don't want to talk about it. See, close to about 41,000 years ago, this planet underwent a magnetic field reversal where, for a short period of time, the planet's natural magnetic protective shield diminished to just 5% of its current strength. 5%. Now, during a sudden and extreme magnetic field reversal event, the temporary weakness of the Earth's magnetic barrier allowed a significant influx of cosmic rays to penetrate the Earth's atmosphere. Now, we go back to February 3rd, the show that we did on February 3rd. Did a show called Environmental Modification, EnMod. Through the use of electromagnetic arrays like HARP and SURA and HAMMER and SMACK, all of these arrays are capable of creating earthquakes. They're capable of severe weather. They're capable of putting pressure on the electrojet. This technology goes all the way back to the times of Tesla, where Tesla talked about how he could make earthquake machines, how he demonstrated earthquake machines, how he demonstrated how he could manipulate the magnetic field. After I did that show, I was noticing that there were a number of earthquakes in diverse places, including swarms on the San Andreas Fault. People worry about that. And it was a 5.0 earthquake that was felt in Texas. It was also just after the show that we started seeing a number of plane crashes that seemed unusual. The first dramatic crash on everyone's radar was this mid-air crash of American Airlines Flight 5342 and an Army helicopter, Black Hawk. And later, there was a violent crash in Philadelphia of an air ambulance plane. There was a Learjet 35A owned by Motley Crue frontman Vince Neil. It crashed into a parked Gulfstream 200. That happened at Scottsdale Airport in Arizona. There was one fatality, multiple injuries. The Learjet was arriving from Austin, Texas. It experienced failure of its left main landing gear upon touchdown. And you can imagine the pressure that was going on with that situation and what contributed to it. There was also the Bering Air Flight 445 that disappeared near Nome, Alaska, killing 10 people. A military fighter jet with two service members on board crashed into the San Diego Bay near Shelter Island. Delta Airlines Flight 4819 attempted to land in Toronto but crashed, and astonishingly, it went belly up, but 76 passengers survived. It's hard to keep up with all the stories, but I got to thinking about radar, navigation, GPS, and how it all can be affected by the shifting of magnetic north. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. Listening Ground Zero. I'm Clyde Lewis. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I never really think about the pole shift, but lately it's been biting at me, right? Because, you know, I've been thinking, how bad could it be? Because scientists, whenever you say, well, if there's going to be a pole shift, what's going to happen? If the poles reverse, we have north, south, south, north, what's going to happen? Most scientists say, well, nothing. Well, you say, but think about what you're saying, because look, what, 780,000 years ago is when the poles last reversed. 40,000 years ago when they tried to reverse, 41,000. Today, there are nearly 7.6 billion people on the planet, twice as many as 1970. We have drastically changed the chemistry of the atmosphere. We have, through geoengineering, we have changed the chemistry of the oceans. With fires, we have changed the chemistry of our forests. And when we're messing with the forests and we're environmentally tinkering with the trees, we are tinkering and impairing the life support system of the planet. Now, you keep slicing up different places of the planet. You keep on pushing species into extinction. When you destroy habitats and when you're messing around with radiation and magnetic radiation and things like HARP and SURA and all this, there are some consequences for life on Earth. And yes, these consequences could be ruinous. And this is not just a biological thing. The vast cyber-electric cocoon that has become the central processing system of our civilization is in grave danger. Because solar energetic particles within the magnetic field can rip through the sensitive miniature electronics of the growing number of satellites that are circling the Earth right now. It could damage those satellites. And heck, we got a lot of satellites now that Musk has been firing off Starlink. We have timing systems now that govern electric grids. We've got GPS. We've got the grid's transformers that can be torched en masse because grids are so tightly coupled with each other, failure would race across the globe, causing a domino run of blackouts. And these are blackouts that could last for decades. No lights, no computers, no cell phones. Even a flushing toilet or filling a car's gas tank would be impossible. And that's just for starters. What about nuclear power plants that need to cool? See, we have this critical infrastructure right now where we want to build it and we want to keep it going with electric cars and with Internet of Things, but they don't think about the planet's magnetic field. And, you know, years ago, we could say, yeah, the magnetic field was relatively strong. But we need to understand something about the magnetic field. And that is, if we mess with it, which we have, you know that HARP is messed with, or you know that other countries have these type of earthquake machines and these vast arrays that fire into the ionospheric heaters. Not only is this field turbulent and ungovernable, but at this point, it's unpredictable. And in the end, it's going to have its way with us. No matter what we do, our task is to figure out how to make it hurt as little as possible. That's why I think that we need to focus on things like this rather than focusing on climate change, because I recommend keeping an eye on why we're seeing more earthquakes, why we're seeing more volcanic eruptions, why there's so many tsunami warnings. I mean, look, if we don't figure this out, if we don't understand how this planet can be a very violent place, we become architects of our own destruction. And that'll be far before we have a pole shift, because we have wars, we have nuclear threats, our lack of personal responsibility, and those who consider themselves the elite, they're working hard to enslave you. They're working hard to break our ability to love one another. They want to separate us. We can be a far bigger factor in our demise than we realize, because we have life that is so strong yet so fragile. Now, I always wonder about pole shifts because I've been noticing these things, and we know, we've talked about the magnetic field before. We've talked about how vulnerable it's becoming, and there are other news stories swirling around right now about the pole shift, about the magnetic funeral that awaits us. The planes, I mean, there have been so many crashes with the planes, it's hard to keep up with the stories and the causes. It's either dismissed as pilot error or problems with air traffic controllers, gear, whatever. Also, DEI hiring, you hear that all the time on Reddit. But I'm curious about whether or not a manipulated or damaged magnetic field can contribute to these disasters. Whether or not the pole, where we're nudging the pole to shift. Back in 2011, I remember Ryan Gable and I were working on a story about Tampa International Airport. They shut down its primary runway in January of 2011. They were forced to repaint the numeric designators on each end and change the taxiway signage. And the reason for this, the reason for the closure, set off a mountain of speculation by the media. But as a result of the movement of the magnetic North Pole, runway 18R36L no longer aligned with a 180-degree, zero-degree north-south axis. So when the runway reopened, it had been reprinted with 19R1L, to more accurately reflect its magnetic directions. More than 140 signs and panels had to be changed, as well as the painted numerals on the runways. Later in the month, a lesser-used parallel runway and an east-west runway were also changed. Now, why did they do it? It was because the magnetic field was changing rapidly. Magnetic north, for those of you who don't know, there's the North Pole where Santa lives, and there's magnetic north, and that's the difference between the geographic North Pole and the magnetic North Pole, because magnetic north is moving now, changing its it's a moving target. At the moment, it's sliding across the Arctic Ocean near Canada towards Siberia at a rate of nearly 40 miles per year. It's according to the U.S. Geological Survey, and at that speed, it's increased by about 36% over the last 10 years. So these changes in the magnetic field also interfere with navigational equipment. And I've been monitoring the activity and I'm watching this story grow. And there are some pretty interesting events that have been taking place lately. And I wonder, of course, because, you know, we speculate, we theorize, right? Conspiracy theory, I guess. I don't know if this is a conspiracy theory, but this is something that needs to be opened up and wondered about. I'm wondering if they have any effect on why the earthquakes and the plane crashes have been occurring lately. We've had solar storm after solar storm that, you know, create northern lights as far south as Australia. That makes them non-northern, right? It makes them like the northern, southern, eastern, western lights. And so we have the sun activity, this Torna flare activity on the sun. The magnetic field is acting wonky. We have swarm satellites that are monitoring the situation. There are changes happening, rapid changes happening. Also, the threat of asteroids, because we're supposed to be protected. This nice magnetic field we have is a blanket to protect us from all kinds of bad things. Well, when everything changes and stuff starts, you know, breaking apart, the little bands that hold the magnetic field together start breaking apart, our planet gets hit with solar particles. They shake the magnetic field, and they bathe the skies with a panoply of shimmering colors and whatever, but that doesn't mean it's, even though it's beautiful, it doesn't mean it's healthy for the planet or the sky. We'll talk about that coming up on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Lethal blend of radioactive particles and microwave. field becomes more and more unstable, we'll start seeing isolated incidents. One plane will fall from the sky, and then two, and then in a few months, everything electronic will be fried.
Static discharges in the atmosphere will create superstorms with hundreds of lightning strikes per square mile.
The Ukraine, a country of some 52 million people, is in almost total blackness tonight in the wake of a series of freakish lightning storms of catastrophic proportion, which struck the country at approximately 4 a.m. local time.
Don't suffer.
EMP, or electromagnetic pulse, which causes a temporary interruption of all electrical current within its field. As in the Ukraine, there are scattered reports that the EMP here was followed by seismic activity on the scale of an earthquake, measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale.
Just when you thought there could not be more change going on in the world, magnetic north is moving. Aviators know it has always moved, but not like this. It's just skipping along. It's on the move about 40 miles a year now along the polar cap toward Russia. It's a natural, unstoppable occurrence, but because of it, some airport runways calibrated by...
A shadow shall fall over the universe, and evil will grow in its path, and death will come from the skies. Death will come from the skies. Death will come from the skies. Death will come from the sky.
The pictures of the skies over Alabama this evening were frightening.
It looks like we got hit by, 5,000-pound bomb here.
Large magnetic storm can interfere with radio communication, with GPS systems. They can interfere with the operation and orientation of satellites. During a large magnetic storm, high-altitude pilots and astronauts can be subjected to enhanced levels of radiation. And during a large magnetic storm, there are occasional power blackouts.
The car just stopped, and
you're okay.
Are
you okay? You all right?
Walk away over and over again.
You all right?
And me and Philly got to
be
coming
up.
Over on Lincoln Avenue.
Dick,
saw
the lightning.
Yeah, 26 times we counted over and over again. The lightning started to hit. It opened up this, like, hole or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. Are we seeing a magnetic flux or change or spike? And is this why we're noticing things like, earthquakes in diverse places, volcanoes, tsunami warnings? And, of course, these plane crashes where, and I'm sure there is a lot of pilot error being talked about and a lot of, I guess you could say tower controllers who can't figure out where a plane is and they miscalculate it. Well, that all could be, pretty much whittled down to things like GPS. There's a lot of accidents that happen because of poor quality radar or the fact the magnetic pole or the magnetic shift or the electromagnetic grid goes wonky and no one knows why. Well, it's because we are in the middle of a pole shift right now, and we're watching the North Pole go some 40 miles a year closer to Siberia. And there's also manipulation going on with the chemtrails and the grids and the ionospheric heaters. Russia and China, of course, in Russia right now, they're using a ionospheric heater called Sura, and they're using it so they can open up waterways to make it easier for China and Russia to move goods, services, and weapons through the ice because everything's blocked. So they open up a waterway and they have to do it by using these types of heating materials. And that heating material is so powerful that it can also cause low pressure systems to dip way into the United States. That's why you see polar vortexes. It's like you're wondering, why is it dipped so far? Well, they're using machinery like HAARP and other things. It's crazy. Let's go to Bear in South Carolina. Hey, Bear, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, good to talk with you, Clyde. Good to talk with you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Hey. Yeah, I want to first up, heads up, just a big shout out. Yesterday, I had never heard it before, so I don't know if it was new and I just missed it. But the intro you did with Dr. Michael Heiser had a bunch of his clips and stuff. That was freaking awesome.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Part of what you're talking about with the airplanes and things, I think that's all definitely involved. On the other hand, though, everybody keeps talking about how many more airplane accidents there are this year, and how I think it's just the coverage of them is greater.
Right. I mean, we've had worse times, and I think a lot of people don't know that we had Well, small aircraft usually crash a lot more than larger aircraft. You know, when they crash, it's like I always say, aircraft is the safest way to fly or the safest way to travel. But when you crash, it's like, it's horrible. And a lot of people die. Right. But what we're seeing here, though, is we're seeing accidents. And what really got me was the D.C. crash with the Black Hawk. It just looked like the Black Hawk flew right into it. They didn't even bother to dodge it or get away from it. Just flew right into it. And then every other
60 seconds.
What's that?
Yeah, for almost 60 seconds straight, the video shows them just beelining the rifle. Even if they were wearing night vision goggles, that would intensify the fact that they see something in front of them from all the lights on the plane.
So I mean, if they're flying using their radar only, if they're flying using GPS only or whatever, and there seems to be a glitch in that magnetic pull or pulse or whatever it is, it's like watching birds with magnetite in their brains. If the magnetite goes... If they lose their magnetic north or direction, they end up falling out of the sky and dying.
Right. But that would explain why they thought they were at one level and yet they're 100 feet higher or lower.
Yeah.
And not giving way to their own vision in front of them, but going off of something that's telling them where they're supposed to be when they're not really there. But
right. So that's the only thing. I mean, and think about this. Do you go to science fiction movies all that often? Do you see a lot of science fiction movies?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know that in a lot of science fiction movies that deal with the apocalypse and deal with grid failure and all this other stuff, what's the first thing that you see coming out of the sky? Aircraft.
Aircraft. And if it's a good sci-fi, it shows the birds dropping out of the sky, too, or crashing into walls or whatever.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Core, but that's exactly what happened. Planes falling out of the sky, birds flying into buildings and dying. And they're saying, well, the core is kind of shut down and the magnetic field is going to go away. We're all going to die unless we do something to jumpstart the core. Well, I mean, the same thing happened in the movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage. Plane came down because the magnetic fields were going wonky and the sun was acting peculiar. And then you have Leave the World Behind, which is that Barack Obama film that was put out by Netflix. And what was going on in that? Well, something was going on with the grid causing the Tesla cars to crash into each other, and not only that, but planes coming down out of the sky. It was, it's what they say. If you see planes coming down, if you see all kinds of different things going on with electronics, it's because we're having problems with our magnetic field.
Right.
So that's amazing. I appreciate you calling. And great work. Thank you for calling the program. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone ever thinks about that because we take for granted. Every day when we wake up, the sun will rise and we're going to go about our day. But we don't, the thing about a magnetic storm or the thing about a magnetic manipulation, you don't see it. Okay? It's like you don't see the air unless the wind is blowing. And even then you don't see the air. You just notice that the trees are moving because the air is moving and you feel the air hitting you. A magnetic thing, unless your hair starts standing on end, but that happens before you get struck by lightning. But when it comes to a magnetic storm, when it comes to a magnetic vortex, you could be in a magnetic vortex and not even know it. Watch your, look at your wristwatch to see if it magnetizes, look at other things to see if they magnetize, but still, with this going on, you don't know until somebody points it out to you. Oh, by the way, did you know that it feels like, do you feel this at all? Did none of my pacemaker didn't work anymore? That kind of thing. Yeah, by then it's too late. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. If you want to find out what's going on with Aftermath.media, and if you're a subscriber to Aftermath.media, want to know what's going on with the Rovitix Media situation, all you have to do is go to groundzeroplus.com. Groundzeroplus.com is a website set up so it'll answer your questions. Hopefully, if not, go to groundzeroron@gmail.com. Just send him a mail, email, and he'll take care of you. He'll talk with you about it. He's got a lot to go over, though. But in the meantime, if you want to go to a website that has a, you know, a summary of what's happening, you can go to groundzeroplus.com. Let's go to Terry in Texas. Hey, Terry, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. I haven't called in since this past summer, but given recent, I've still been listening, but given recent events, I'm cautiously optimistic. I had a geoengineering question, but first, more pertinent, I believe, for all of us, is you did a show a few months back about the prevalence of chloroquine or chloroquat in grains and breakfast cereals. And I did a little fact checking with that GMO, and
it's called glyphosate. Really is, glyphosate is what it is.
It's really prevalent in a lot of things.
Yeah, it's done so that you can have your plants. You can put all kinds of poison on them to kill weeds and all kinds of things, and so the plants can take it. So what they do is they genetically modify the seed so that you can put so much weed killer on it, people basically get cancer.
So my question with that is, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. with HHS head, do you believe it is going to be one of his priorities to rid the food source of that toxic pesticide?
I'm sure it will be. I mean, they've already listed it as a carcinogen. So, I mean, if it's a major carcinogen, you know, people have already, you know, sued Monsanto Bayer for this. And, of course, Bill Gates, this is another Bill Gates miracle that we see all the time, where Bill Gates is involved with philanthropy that seems to screw us all. So, we'll see how that happens. I'm sure they're going to be revealing a lot about GMO foods. They're probably going to talk a lot about lab meat and what that is, and whether or not we need it, whether or not it's good for people. He's already looking into Ozempic right now to see if it's healthy. And, I mean, there are a lot more things, though, that are happening right now. Like, we were talking with Alana Freeland a while back about the magnetic field and how people are losing their sight. I know you've been hearing a lot of commercials lately for an eye disorder. And there's a drug you can have injections in your eyes called Izervay. And they talk about Izervay being that kind of drug to prevent this degeneration of the eye. And a lot of people are saying it's because of the magnetic changes are causing eye problems in people.
And on that, when I spoke with you this past summer, I told you about my uncle who was ex-military CIA with E-Systems. And then I happened to hear E-Systems mentioned by you, which was pretty gratifying. But, the weather engineering, first of all, the fact that it's 40 miles per year of a pole shift seems astonishing to me.
Yeah.
My question is, do you or have you read what the trajectory of the path of it is?
Well, I've heard all kinds of things. In fact, I've heard it would ironically eventually coincidentally wind up at Greenwich, where zero 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 time is. That's where we start time. I don't know if that's true, but it's like it's being monitored, and every day they have to change runways, or every so often they have to change runways. And what's really odd is when you're dealing with the DC crash, if you remember, the plane was supposed to come in on runway number 1, but they switched it to number 33. I don't know why they did that, but I'm sure a lot of people will tell me, but It I don't see it as a conspiracy as much as I see it as, you know, again, you know, radar is not what it used to be. Radar is picking up UFOs now, which is interesting. But I'm just saying, you know, radar is changing. GPS is changing. We've got Russia and China. They want their own GPS systems. They want their own mapping systems. They don't want to rely on our satellites for this. So things are about to change with regard to how, you know, we get direction and how, you know, people follow direction. Because if the magnetic field is changing that much, we're going to be like birds running into walls because the magnetite in our brains aren't going to be working.
Well, whether or not it's naturally occurring or it's geoengineered, it's still going to have massive global ramifications with food crops and everything like it. So to me, that is a preeminent threat.
Yeah.
Maybe just naturally occurring, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not dismissing that.
Not.
Yeah, I am not dismissing the idea that we're looking at, because what? Take a look at the sun and how its activity has been. And especially going back to May of 2024, where we had that big solar storm that everybody saw beautiful skies and everything else, but it did a lot of damage in some areas. And they say that electromagnetic field gained some proton particles. So that,
and we're in the zenith of the solar activity cycle, which is every 11 years.
Right. And we're not even, I mean, we got what, through 28, I guess, or 28, 29, maybe even 2030 before we even see the peak of it. And so this is what's happening now with all the earthquakes and all the volcanic eruptions being caused by a magnetic field that's just out of control. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Terry, you're the man. Thank you so much for calling the program. Yeah, I mean, Terry knows. I think a lot of people know that this is exactly what we're in the middle of. And like I say, you're not going to be able to see it. And it'd be like me saying, well, the fleas are going to be doing their flying circus. You can't see the fleas, but for some reason, all of a sudden you start seeing the trapeze go back and forth or whatever. That's exactly what this is with the magnetic situation. They've been talking about the magnetic smog being, you know, transmitted from, what, the cell tower to your sweat glands. You know, they're able to use that toxic smog, that radiomagnetic, that magnetic smog, they can use it to find you, to spy on you. To see you when you're sleeping and know when you're awake. To see you when you're doing your naughty things, right? And you want that, right? You want the government to be able to do that with the electromagnetic frequencies. See, that's the thing. So much manipulation. And the fact that we can do it, do we really need to do it? Do we really? I mean, look, people are getting geographic atrophy and age-related macular degeneration. Some people are attributing that to magnetic changes on the planet. I mean, geographic atrophy? So, that's a new thing on the market, new thing that people have that they want to try and eliminate. So many different things happening to the human body because of its exposure to what could be environmental manipulation. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. Let's face it, guys, we're living in times where the truth is becoming more suppressed and censorship is increasing at an alarming rate, especially on social media platforms. It's Clyde, and I want to tell you about a safe and secure digital playground we put together just for you. It's aftermath.media. You get access to thousands of Ground Zero archives and podcasts, along with our private social media groups with your basic membership starting at only $7 a month. Each subscription includes tech support, access to the RSS feeds, along with our own chat room and Telegram channel. In addition, the premium membership includes research study groups, webinars, a document and movie library, a live video stream of Ground Zero, a monthly Zoom chat with me, and other bonus content. Be sure to check out our yearly specials as well. Sign up today while you're thinking about it. Sign up at aftermath.media. Again, that's aftermath.media.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see it."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see it."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see it."
Give up.
I'm Clay Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Ron Patton, my great producer, fantastic producer, been with me for a long time. He sent me something, and I want to read it to you, regarding the situation with Aftermath. Says, since Rob Davenport has abruptly pulled the plug on Aftermath Media, and he said he's doing it on March 1st, but a lot of people are complaining he's pulling it a lot earlier than that, and I don't know what to tell you. This is what we're dealing with here. We have put together our own website now, groundzeroplus.com. It's a bare-bones operation right now, but over time we're going to build it up with our archive shows, videos, documents, chat room, and more, just like Aftermath, but better. We're also going to be setting up a GoFundMe for the Ground Zero staff office because Rob Davenport has withheld money from us. Additionally, we have attorney's expenses since Rovitics, Rob's company, has committed fraud against us. Please, please check out our Facebook page and new website, groundzeroplus.com. Also, I'm having a chat with Clyde this Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific time on Rumble, rumble.com. It's going to be hosted by our good friend J.B. Bovenzi from StudioJFM.com. And we will have the direct link posted on our social media sometime this weekend, like the Ground Zero Facebook page, Clyde Lewis Facebook page, Clyde Lewis X page. Now, if you're an existing Aftermath subscriber or interested in becoming one when our new platform launches, please go to our new website, groundzeroplus.com. Leave your contact information. If you're a yearly subscriber, indicate when you're membership expires. Please know, please understand that I really, really appreciate the support. I appreciate the camaraderie, and it's like a family sticking together. I'm really happy about that because without my true fans, I couldn't continue. No way. I mean, these hard times and disruptions with Ground Zero, they're going to pass. I mean, our show is independent. And being independent, we can get walked on a little bit and, you know, run through the ringer. But now we have people who have seen us doing our independent thing for 30 years, and now they want to be a part of it. It took 30 years, but they see how hard we've worked, and they don't want it to be taken off the air. So without my fans, without people out there, like, Mark Masters and others, I couldn't continue. And like I said, this is all temporary, but it's going to be bigger and better with the help of our new business representatives. I want to thank you very much for sticking with us and listening to this program, too, all of you that listen to us on the radio. It's going to be bigger and better this year, and we're really excited for what the future holds. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So I was talking about the idea that something's up with the magnetic poles. I've always felt that, you know, ever since the Higgs boson was discovered in 2012, I just get this feeling we've been thrown into a different timeline or in some weird dimension. And that Donald Trump is a time traveler. He's constantly, you know, in fact, Liam had told me something was really interesting. He said he saw a sign in Donald Trump's office that says 2028 and beyond. And he said, you know, knowing what he knows about Plus Ultra and what I've talked about with regard to the time travel thing, he felt it really eerie that Trump could be with us 2028 and beyond. So I don't know what to think of that. It's certainly interesting to, you know, think about. But when you're looking at the magnetic field of the planet and how it affects us and how it affects dimensions and how it affects all this stuff, you take a look at what the sun has been doing. And I don't excuse the sun, because the sun is very much a part of why we have the weather we're having, why we have earthquakes, the moon affects us as well. But back in May of 2024, there was an epic solar storm that rattled Earth so powerfully that its effects were felt even at the bottom of the ocean. And in the wake of a torrent of flare activity on the sun, our planet was buffeted by a powerful blast of solar particles that shook our magnetic field and bathed our skies with a panoply of shimmering colors as auroras reached far lower latitudes than usual. Some were seen in Australia. But these effects were way more far-reaching, because scientists are now revealing that in the months following the storm, Earth was girded by two new temporary radiation belts of high-energy particles trapped in our planet's magnetic field. Something strange has happened. It's had scientists scratching their heads. They've now detected energetic protons in one of the new belts. Radiation belts are normal. They're part of the architecture of the planet. We have a global magnetic field. Stars are constantly leaking particles borne by stellar winds. These stream out, and where they encounter planetary magnetic fields, we have particles, solar particles, some particles of asteroids. They all become entrapped, forming vast belts of toroidal information or toroidal formations around the planet, going from the center out. Sometimes if you look at the magnetic fields, it looks like a huge spider. Earth has two permanent radiation belts. There's the Van Allen belt and an inner belt that's closer to the planet, and then there's this outer belt encircling both. And this is a good thing, because it's sort of like a planetary defense system, like I said. It protects our planet from direct bombardment of solar particles, asteroids. It allows us to live here relatively unscathed. But yet NASA's been like whispering and kind of murmuring under the radar about the possibility of an asteroid that may hit us in the next few years. We know about Apophis. Apophis won't hit us, but it's going to be huge. It's going to knock out satellites. And that's going to be when? 2030, 2029? So, yeah, we got 5 years where they're saying something may hit us. It won't cause major damage, but local damage. That's what they're saying. Once more, we have this proton belt that remains intact. And so they're trying to figure out the longevity and the decay rate of it. And it's important information, because particles in Earth orbit can pose as a hazard to satellites while they're hanging out up there. So knowing the particle density, knowing the effects of solar storms can have, it just helps engineers design mitigation strategies to protect our technology. And this technology includes navigation and GPS technologies, the very technologies that are used for boats, trucks, cars, and planes. Now, they don't know if these new radiation belts are affecting those things. But figure this out. We've been having a lot of plane crashes lately. We had that boat crash in Baltimore. Francis Scott Key Bridge, remember that? Just looked like it drove right into the pillar and sunk and brought down the bridge. They always say pilot error or captain error. How about radar error? How about GPS error? How about a magnetic field that seems unstable or maybe manipulated? 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. So it's interesting to know that when the magnetic field goes awry, or when there's a disruption, okay, there are a lot of things to look out for. And I remember Charlotte King, and she was diagnosed with this disorder, but it was she could feel seismic changes. They said that she had an earthquake sickness. She detected it. She felt terrible before Mount St. Helens blew. And then she's able to sense where earthquakes are happening within 500 miles. And one of the things she told me back in the day when we were interviewing her, she said, you know, if people were to look for the signs of magnetic disturbances just prior to earthquakes, they would know what is happening. Like she was telling me, she said, okay, let's suppose you're sitting in the office and all of a sudden you start smelling popcorn. And she says that some people before an earthquake or before some magnetic disturbance, that could be anything. It could be a magnetic solar storm. It could be anything. Their body starts feeling a need for choline, start feeling a need for things like popcorn or corn chips. Or some people, in order to fulfill that need, they want to basically eat antacid pills like Tums. Something in the Tums is something that satisfies that need, that urge. Some people feel nausea before an earthquake or before a magnetic twist or turn. Some people feel heart murmurs or they go into arrhythmias before an earthquake or before some sort of magnetic disturbance. So there are many things that happen. You know, people just remember back when they were in the middle of some sort of seismic activity. They can remember, well, I felt really nauseous. Oh, another thing she told me too, she says, some days, you know, people drop stuff. No reason. They just keep dropping stuff. And it's because they have a hard time, their inner ear has a hard time adjusting to these P waves that are being sent out. And so there are many studies that when an electromagnetic surge is happening, people tend to wander. Their brain tends to wander. Their eyesight tends to wander. And so this makes me wonder about whether or not, you know, we're going to be seeing people wandering around acting like zombies if we have a huge pole shift or huge, like, Carrington event. You know, the Carrington event, if you ever read about it, it's terrifying to ever read about, where they were talking about telegraph operators who saw a bolt of electricity shoot through their bodies from the floor into their heads. It's just creepy to even understand. Well, here's something else, too, that I find interesting, is that scientists now, a few scientists out, scientists at the Technical University of Denmark and the German Research Center of Geosciences, they went and used data from the ESA Swarm mission. The ESA Swarm mission is the European Space Agency's, they take these satellites, and they called swarm satellites, and they put them in the magnetic field. Okay, so they went and they took the data from the ESA Swarm mission. They went to other sources, and what they did is they created a sound visualization. They have a visualization along with sound of the event where a huge magnetic flux or magnetic change happens. So what they did is they mapped the movement of the Earth's magnetic field lines from the swarm, and also they wanted to create or somehow visualize the event in stereo. And so the soundscape was made using recordings of natural noises and other things and how they would react to what would be a magnetic flux or strange magnetic spike. And so I want to play for you now what they, after reviewing the data and putting it all together, they decided to come up with what, if there was a magnetic change or a pole shift or what have you, it would make a sound. It would have a sound, and this is what you'd be listening to and hearing if there was a pole shift. This is an interesting thing. So turn up your radio and listen. This is the sound of a possible magnetic flip, and this is what they discovered and how they put it together using data. Sound like guitar strings going boom, boom. That would be the, I would say, the vines coming out of the planet, and they pop. It's amazing. I just thought you'd get a kick out of that. That is the sound, according to a simulated soundscape, was created by scientists at the Technical University of Denmark, the German Research Center of Geosciences. Data from the ESA, the European Space Agency Swarm mission, where the satellites are going through the magnetic field of the planet, transforming sounds with data. And they said it was weird because they said this is like composing a music from a score. But the sound of the Earth's magnetic field, sonification, all of that, produced by the swarm data, it was first played through a 32-speaker system set up in a public square in Copenhagen. Each speaker represented changes in the magnetic field at different places around the world. And what is bizarre about that is they cranked it with the bass, the whole area shook. In fact, the whole area, I mean, people said it was an experience. It felt like they said they experienced what may have been what it would sound like, what it would feel like during a magnetic pole shift. So they're already doing these rehearsals, right? They're creating these soundscapes. They're saying, this is what it may be like. This is what you may hear. This is what you may experience. Now, why would they do that if they're not thinking that this is going to be happening, at least in some shape or form with regard to some magnetic changes? I mean, this magnetic field changes. It could contribute to violent earth shaking. It could create to plane and marine accidents. Like I said, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, March 2024, as a cargo ship hit a support beam, brought down the bridge. We got the planes going down, and in every science fiction, you know, it's a trope in science fiction where you're talking about the end of the world. Planes coming out of the sky, it's terrifying to see. That's probably why they do it, because you're looking at several planes coming down. It's like, leave the world behind. I remember the planes were coming down. I remember the Tesla cars hitting into each other. And, you know, is this what we're going to have to deal with when we're dealing with this? You know, what did you ever see the movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage? Plane comes down because of the magnetic change in the sun. The sun creates a magnetic change. Knock at the Cabin. That's another film that was out recently. M. Night Shyamalan's film, Knock at the Cabin, and they're saying the world's ending. They turn on TV, see planes falling out of the sky. And the core. We were talking about the core earlier, where the inner core of the planet ceases to rotate, and it causes the magnetic grid to spike and create severe weather, confuse birds, eventually killing them, flying into buildings. Terrifying to watch. And, of course, planes start falling out of the sky. And I guess if you want to watch Netflix movie, Leave the World Behind, that was a movie that was backed by Barack and Michelle Obama. Has Julia Roberts in it. Interesting film. Planes falling out of the sky, cars crashing into other, and that's only one interpretation. And the simulated magnetic field perturbances is also interesting too. So, I mean, they're thinking about this, they're experimenting with this. It makes me wonder why it's on their minds. Maybe it's because the magnetic poles are shifting at 40 miles a year. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back to more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
And feel completely lost, it's possible you need a compass. The arrow on it points to magnetic north, which will put you back on the right course.
Do you know the Earth's magnetic north pole is shifting? Scientists have been tracking the movement of the magnetic north pole, and it seems to be moving closer to Russia, but they can't explain why that is.
Well, hope you folks figure this thing out. It's the end of the world.
Earth's magnetic field is definitely going to flip. In Earth's 4.5 billion year history, the magnetic field has flipped three times. First, the magnetic field weakened by about 90%.
It's the end of the world.
A weaker magnetic field means less protection from harmful space radiation. Communication satellites in higher orbit start to fail. GPS, banking, and the stock exchange won't work anymore, and the internet would be disrupted. On Earth, the probability of skin cancer increases, and the internal compass of animals whose navigation depends on the magnetic field is impaired.
The magnetic field shields us from harmful solar winds and radiation, and without it, we wouldn't be able to live here on Earth. And scientists say a pole reversal is possible. A flip could disrupt radio communications and navigation systems as we know it, and it could also affect animal migration patterns. This movement of the magnetic north pole may cause major airlines and militaries in NATO to upgrade their navigation systems.
It's the end of the world.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. Let's go to Michael in North Carolina. Michael, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Thanks for calling tonight.
I was on my way to the store tonight, and I heard your show, and I got to thinking, I'm wondering if this magnetic shift has something to do with vertigo.
Well, I'm sure it does,
and
yeah.
The reason I'm asking is, this week, my niece, my sister, and three of my friends all had vertigo.
Mm.
Wednesday, I couldn't even walk. It was so bad.
Right.
And I'm just like, I've got to call and at least ask.
Well, I'll tell you this. One time I had really bad vertigo, and it happened on Liam's birthday. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. I wasn't sure what year. But I had some really bad vertigo. They had to take me to the hospital. It was so bad, I couldn't hold down anything, and I couldn't walk, and I was rushed to the hospital by ambulance. I thought, oh, my God, this is it. I'm done. You know, something's wrong with me. But what was odd is that 3-4 days afterward, they were saying that Mount Hood, which is about 50, 60 miles away from where I live, Mount Hood was actually having swarms of earthquakes of about 3.5. And I'm like, what? You know, where my house sits, where it used to sit anyway, was on this street called Powell. You can take Powell for another 25, 30 miles, and you're right in the area of Welch's, which is where the earthquakes took place. And so, I don't know. I don't know if it was because of some seismic activity in the area or whatever, but I was feeling it. And I worry sometimes. And I remember, too, there was a time where we had an earthquake. It was a small one in what they call Mustard Park. And it was like a 2.0 or 3.0. Before the earthquake hit, I heard a high frequency in my ear, and it was like a real high. It was like, remember back in the old days where you turn on the TV and you hear that high frequency? Remember that? The tube would make that high noise?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was hearing before the earthquake. And it wasn't like major. It was like the house shook And then there was like a kind of a what I would say, a wave. It's almost like a water wave going, you know, it was like it shook and then there was like a burp afterwards. But I did yeah. get that. I got this feeling of my ear shutting down on one end and then opening up on the other end and hearing this very high-pitched frequency. So, you know, and I didn't know. I thought, you know, this could be they were using some sort of a harp weapon or something to cause it. But it just seemed to me that it felt different than, you know. And ever since I talked with Charlotte King, I have been well aware of how I feel and wondering if maybe this feeling is because somewhere there's going to be some sort of a seismic thing going on within 500 miles.
Yeah, I lived in Southern California for 4 years in Fullerton and Huntington Beach, mm-hmm. both towns, and experienced several earthquakes
right.
through those 4 years, and never had this issue. As a matter of fact, I think only once before have I had vertigo, but never have I had numerous people mm-hmm. say, man, I got vertigo bad. Three of the six people, including myself, three of those six people had it so bad they couldn't keep anything down.
Yeah.
Just like what you experienced.
Well, you know, again, it could be magnetic waves. It could be anything. You know, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to, you know, jump on the bandwagon and say it was exactly that. But people, like I say, are complaining of, you know, bad eyesight. They're complaining of, you know, nausea. They're complaining of strange cravings that they don't understand. And usually it's because there's this heightened awareness, or at least the body's heightened awareness, to pole shifts and magnetic changes. And that's what got me to talk about it back in the beginning of February, was because I was noticing some odd changes. And then we started seeing the earthquakes. And then we started hearing about a volcano that's going to go off on the Oregon coast. And then we hear the airplane crashes and everything. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is like some movie. And I didn't get a chance to address it until now, so that's what I'm doing. I'm addressing it. But pay close attention to the headlines and see what's going on with earthquakes, see what's going on with health. And of course, they're going to say it's climate change. But I would say it has a lot to do with the magnetic field and how our bodies are responding to the changes.
Yeah, I'm slightly becoming a believer of that.
Well, I would say just, you know, and I know this is going to sound, I don't know if you have time to do this. Make a diary, you know, write down your feelings, write down about the vertigo, and then, you know, pay attention to headlines, pay attention to what's going on around you. I had vertigo last night, but what was really strange is like 3 days later, there was a collision of a helicopter and an aircraft over D.C. What was that about? Maybe they had some magnetic problems with the GPS, or they had some magnetic problems with the radar, or the Earth was sending strange magnetic signals. I mean, that's some of the things that, you know, when you're making a diary of what's happening to you, you can relate it and connect dots and understand what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I appreciate this show tonight because it's made me it's heightened my awareness anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's what we try to do here at Ground Zero. A reminder that if you are a Aftermath subscriber and you have been shut down by Ravitics Media, who is the parent company of that platform. We are trying to make good on everything here because we were not expecting this shutdown. And so we put together a website called groundzeroplus.com. That's ground zero word plus. It's plus. That's groundzeroplus, groundzeroplus.com. Or if you have any other questions that aren't being answered at groundzeroplus.com, you can go to groundzeroron@gmail.com and send him a letter or send him an email. Also, coming up, JP Bavenzi is going to be hosting a chat with me. It's going to be at 2 p.m. Sunday Pacific time on Rumble. And what that's going to be is you can ask me any questions about what's going on and what I see and how I see it and what I'm allowed to say to the lawyers and everything else. But yeah, this is pretty strange times, very important times. Very important to pay attention to this because, you know, the future of Ground Zero is going to be brighter, going to be better, going to be bigger, and we want you to come with us in 2025. So 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. say, Clyde, this whole cataclysm idea that you're talking about, the cataclysmic idea of, pole shift, it's all nonsense. It's pseudoscience, okay? A lot of people still believe that. But if you go back to October 2016, Barack Obama had signed an executive order requiring the government to prepare the nation for space weather events. Says this, space weather events in the form of solar flares, solar energetic particles, geomagnetic disturbances occur regularly with some measurable effects on critical infrastructure systems technologies such as global positioning systems, GPS, satellite operation, and infrastructure. It could disable large portions of the electrical power grid, resulting in cascading failures that would affect key services such as the water supply, healthcare, transportation. Space weather has a potential to simultaneously affect and disrupt health and safety across entire continents. Successfully preparing for space weather events is an all-of-nation endeavor that requires partnerships across governments, emergency managers, academia, the media, the insurance industry, nonprofits, and the private sector. It is the policy of the United States to prepare for space weather events, to prepare for magnetic shifts because of the extent of economic loss and human hardship. Federal government must have the capability to predict and detect space weather events. The plans and programs necessary to alert public and private sectors to enable mitigating actions for impending space weather events. The protection and mitigation plans, protocols, and standards required to reduce risks of critical infrastructure prior and during a credible threat. And the ability to respond to and recover from the effects of space weather. So if this is not a big deal, then why do they need a special executive order from the president? I mean, I know that, you know, the odds of such a pole shift happening on our watch are few and far between, but it just seems to me that any kind of magnetic shift, whether it be created by us, like an EMP or some sort of a HAARP disaster, all those effects would come along with a reversal. I mean, there'd be so many things, chaos and everything, health problems, vertigo, you name it. People are feeling it, and they're understanding now just what they're feeling. Let's go to Richard in Oregon. Hey, Richard, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. I just wanted to, first of all, say the situation with Rogetics is unfortunate, and I hate that you have to go through that. I think Rob Davenport is despicable for us.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, so... I mean, he has to live with that. I don't know how he can sleep at night, but he can, so that's sad.
To me, it just seems like he's just greedy. But my reason for calling in is that you mentioned the issue with the birds. Mm-hmm. I work in a warehouse just outside of Portland, and my boss in the last few months has had to clean up several birds, and these birds range from these tiny little meadowlarks to, I think the other day he picked up a scrub jay. And when you mentioned the magnetic field and what's going on with the birds and everything, like in movies like The Core, mm-hmm. Great movie, by the way, it clicked. I realized maybe this is what's going on.
Well, you know that, you know, birds use the Earth's magnetic field to navigate. And it's because they have magnetite in their beaks. Also, some other tissues have magnetite in them. So magnetite is like this tiny compass in their bodies, which help birds determine their position and direction. That's why you can see birds flying in formation, and one bird dips, and they all go the same direction. It's because the magnetite receptors in the beaks of birds direct them, and it helps. So if the magnetic field is screwed up, it plays hob with the magnetite in their beaks.
Yes, and... The other thing is, if there wasn't something, I'm not saying it's going to be a world-ending cataclysm anytime soon, but I'm just thinking, you know, you'd mentioned the administration was signing executive orders and everything. They must know something is going on, freaking havoc with our magnetic field.
Oh, sure.
Why else would they be making all these moves?
Well, and talking about how they need to protect and mitigate. How do they do that unless they have weapons that can do that, or at least protection grids that can do that? That's another thing that's very revealing. I thank you for the call, Richard. Let's go to Joan in New York. Hey, Joan, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I love your show, and I love talking to you, and I'm glad that you're around and you're talking to us. So I'm thinking about what you – I love the topic tonight, by the way. Planes falling from the sky. It reminds me of a book that I read years ago, a really good book, still very relevant, 1 Second After by William Forshund.
Is that EMP book?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I read some of that a while ago, and it was like, you know, you look up and you see the beautiful – beautiful colors in the sky, and then you realize, yep. Oh my God!
Then all of a sudden, yeah. You know what? All of a sudden, there are planes that are falling, yes. And crashing,
yep.
A few miles down the road.
Yes.
And how life is after that one blink of an event.
Yeah.
And how many people? How it impacts everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have no more power, we're done.
I know.
And there was one part in the book where it said there were so many people dying so fast.
Mm-hmm.
There was a nearby golf course in North Carolina, and they chose the golf course to use as a burial ground because the soil was soft and easy to dig.
Yeah.
Because there were so many that had to be buried.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing that I wanted to mention. You know, they have all these programs now about, people wanting to buy really teeny tiny houses. And there was one fella, a retired engineer.
Mm-hmm.
He went on Craigslist, and the craziest thing, he found a retired jetliner. So, and the guy had property upstate. He cleared some land, and he said the salvage company cost more for him to move this retired jet. He wanted to live in it, and it illustrated how he had the wings taken off and how he was configuring it to live in it on the inside. The guy was an engineer. I guess he was a pilot too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nutty, but then he throws out at the end, yeah, it's like living in a Faraday cage.
Well, that's safe right now, especially when we're looking at this type of stuff. It's like people always say, well, what about the internet? It'll go away if we have this. No, because they're protecting all the major computers with Faraday cages. They're ready to start it up. That's great.
But you really have to be half out of your mind to want to live in something like that.
I've always felt that planes aren't much of a Faraday cage because the closer you get, the more radiation you get. I don't know. We'll look into it.
I know, but you got to get used to those curved walls and no running water.
Yeah, and that turbulence, too. That's another thing I worry about.
Jesus. Hey, I love you. Take care.
I love you,
yourself.
Too. Take care. It's good. That's a good call. Let's quickly go to James in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, James. You're on Ground Zero.
Good evening, Clyde. There was a north side to the manhole on the south side, and I believe you've got certain charred particles on the north side.
Are you talking about Mount Hood?
No, I'm talking about that.
I'm sorry, you're falling apart. Your phone is not. This is the first time your phone screwed up since you called. Are you okay? Is your phone move?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, quickly.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there's a chance of a matter-antimatter event if the pole flips. It'll burn the Earth.
I never heard that before.
It'll burn the Earth.
I never heard that before. Well, I can see that, though. Matter-antimatter. There's some accident.
Gram of anti-proton radiates 10 to the 20 watts continuously. I'll get back to you.
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
God, I didn't even think about that. You know, I don't know. Like I said, pole shift, huge one. I don't know if it's going to happen on our watch, but magnetic changes? Yeah. We screw around enough with the electrojet, it's going to happen. Or it's already happened many times. Solar flares, EMPs. Yeah, it's going to happen. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Talk Radio, you'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Join me on a journey where getting lost is the only true destination. For the past, present, and future all coexist on the same timeline, where happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now, where our phones are the first things that we touch when we wake up, the last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. Welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed on the screen. Mike, welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I want to remind everyone that since Ravitics Media, the host of Aftermath, turned on us like a rabid cheerleader, we have a space available, and it's been created by our good friend Chris in the UK. Very devoted fan, awesome guy. He's also been involved in a lot of investigations with regard to blood and COVID and a lot of other stuff. He was there with us, and just a great guy. We thank him from the bottom of our hearts. He put together something called Ground Zero Plus. GroundZeroPlus.com is a place to go if you want to find out more about what happens with your subscription to Aftermath.media. Just a little reminder that we are in transition, and we've had a hostile response from the parent company when we were having a good discussion. All of a sudden, Rob Davenport turned into, like I say, a rabid cheerleader, and we don't know what to do with him. But in the meantime, you can do something by supporting Ground Zero. Going to groundzeroplus.com gives you information about GoFundMe and all kinds of other cool things. So check that out. Also, JP Vivenzi hosting a chat for me. It's going to be happening. Chat with Clyde. It's going to be on Rumble.com. That's going to happen at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So you may want to check that out, too. That way, if you want to ask me anything, if you want to ask me anything, we can talk about it. Hopefully, we'll be kind, because this is, I don't know, it can be hurtful, painful. Betrayal always is, and we're sorry that this is happening, but, things do go down, and I guess, Mark Masters said on the program, this happens in radio all the time. It's just the degree of how it happens is based on business. And it just seems like this is something that we need to take care of. And we really appreciate the fans. And we appreciate Chris in the UK for providing us with Ground Zero Plus. Also, if you have any questions, you can ask Ron, groundzeroron@gmail.com. That's groundzeroron@gmail.com. Former McDonnell Douglas engineer Dr. Jan Thomas, he published a thesis on the coming magnetic disturbance due to the pole shifts. And he basically, the problem with the book was it was so accurate that it was stepping on the line of core intelligence. Now, remember I told you what core intelligence is, right? Core intelligence is the intelligence that basically leads to the ultimate extinction level event, meaning that the president doesn't even know this. Only certain people know when this is going to happen, whether or not it's going to be done by earthquake, flood, God, or aliens. And that's the whole thing. That's why sometimes they won't reveal to you everything that would be considered top secret. But Jan Thomas had presented the idea that the shifting of the Earth's poles would cause a major cataclysm. Thomas described pole shifts as cyclical, and at regular intervals, some indicators warn us of cataclysmic cycles that can wipe out huge swaths of human populations. Now, these theories have cascaded into talk of a sixth extinction event where civilizations before ours were wiped out because of the abrupt magnetic shifts that would cause unprecedented disasters tied to the planet's seismic activity. So the CIA went to great pains to make sure this book didn't get out, but they kept it banned pretty much for 60 years. It's called Adam and Eve. That's what they called it. Scientists have warned about things like shifting crust. Remember the movie 2012? It's funny because the movie 2012, if you remember, began with the sun having a huge solar flare. And then that solar flare turned into a magnetic storm, space weather, if you will, came down, started the Earth to basically shake. That was based on Charles Hapgood's theory about the shifting crust. And Albert Einstein even did the foreword for that book. And they acknowledged that the magnetic pole shift would take some time, of course, and certain things could happen to rush the process, that pole shifts could be created. Tectonic displacement could be man-made. So it's like the end of the world is theorized back in 1958. They thought that the world ending would be magnetic. It'd be a big magnetic funeral for everybody, magnetic event. The pole shift would almost guarantee massive loss of plant and animal and human life. It would trigger earthquake swarms, mega tsunamis, peculiar weather and volcanic activities that would be unprecedented. It sounds like what we're dealing with now. Geomagnetic storms, we know, would shut down power and radio communications. And yes, people would begin to feel the effects of the magnetic flu, which is a disorder that would cause cancer, heart problems, gradual loss of eyesight, and mental instability. We'll wander around, not knowing what's going on. Scientists are now warning us that the magnetic fluctuations of the Earth will be on the rise as the Earth is slowing down. And this could mean that anything disrupting the magnetic flow could have a devastating effect. And as we demagnetize the eschaton, we may become witness to some of the most exciting and terrifying moments in our history. January 2025, the University of Utah seismograph stations responsible for the operations and analysis of Yellowstone seismic network, they located 56 earthquakes in the Yellowstone National Park region. The largest event of the month was a minor earthquake of a magnitude 3.7. Now, this is either, I don't know if it's good or bad news, but the good news is it's letting off steam because we know if the caldera there explodes, again, if you remember the movie 2012, if the caldera explodes, it can send ash for miles eastward across the plains all the way to the East Coast, creating a volcanic winter. We have a pole shift, earthquakes, severe weather, volcanic eruptions, all interlinked on a correlated basis. And these types of events can take place in space, and it can all happen within 3 to 5 years. And like I say, we can't see the magnetic field. Most of us will notice changes around us. First, they're subtle, and then they become major obstacles, creating panic and future shock. New diseases you've never heard of before. New drugs to combat these diseases. Every time I see a new drug commercial, I'm wondering, this is something I've never heard of before. It's like this, like I said, the Izerbay commercial for, the eye problems that people are having on a geographic basis. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We're going to be back with more Ground Zero, and Mark D'Antonio is going to be with us to talk more about the pole shift right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Someone sent me an email wanting me to replay something for them before we get to our guest tonight, Mark D'Antonio. Apparently what has happened is, and like I said, back on February 3rd, we first attempted to talk about environmental modification, use of electromagnetic weapons, and weaponizing the Earth for war. And the magnetic field, I was worried, something's going on. And we do know that the pole is shifting. We do know that the north magnetic north is moving. But scientists at a technical university of Denmark and the German Research Center of Geosciences put together some data they picked up from the European Space Agency's Swarm mission. Along with other sources, they created this sound visualization. It's actually a video plus sound. The video is interesting because it just shows all the different, it looks like a slinky coming out of the Earth because the wires of the electromagnetic field kind of look like a slinky. They kind of look like a spider. And they bend and move and they're like alien arms and tentacles and whatever. But the sound they created is what they say would be the sound of what would be an electromagnetic flip. And so somebody said that I play it again. I thought I'd play it so Mark can hear it too. He's listening. I'm going to play this right now. This is the sound of the Earth's magnetic flip, what it would sound like according to scientists. It's kind of interesting to listen to. It's kind of eerie as well. Listen to this. Creaking and the sound of the magnetic bands breaking, popping off, wiry around. It's just watching it is just as fun as listening to it. But thought I'd give you that opportunity to hear it and to introduce to you Mark D'Antonio. He's been on the program before. He has a degree in astronomy. He's the Mutual UFO Network's chief photo video analyst, host of Sky Tour Radio on KGRA, and host and creator of the most popular Sky Tour live stream with Mark D'Antonio. Group of live deep sky telescope observations on YouTube where people can go on clear nights to watch beautiful deep sky objects materialize before their eyes in mere seconds, courtesy of the Sky Tour live stream remote observations and the research telescopes from Meade Instruments Corporation. He's the CEO of FX Models, a model making and visual special effects company specializing in digital physical models and organic visual effects in the film industry. Mark has an extensive work history discussing and investigating extraterrestrial life in the film and television arena, appearing regularly on several networks and television series and on shows like Discovery Channel, Discovery Plus, History, Netflix, TLC, a lot more. Mark's always good to have you on the program. Welcome back to Ground Zero.
Hey, thanks, Clyde. So great to be here. That was a pretty eerie sound you just played.
That's supposed to be a reenactment of a pole shift. They said that they use the swarm technology, which are the European Space Agency satellites they put in the magnetic field, along with other things, to try and simulate, they say, what it would sound like or what it sounded like some 41,000 years ago.
Interesting. You know, what's interesting about the technical name is geomagnetic reversal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not – well, you know that. And it's not an actual flipping upside down of the Earth, which so many people, I've encountered think it is. And the other thing about it is – it takes thousands of years to occur. In fact, I've said all along, I think we're in the middle of one.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving an accelerated rate toward Russia by about 30, 31 miles a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then that is the magnetic pole. So, is this spelled disaster? Well, I'm not so sure, and I'll tell you why. And I kind of have a voice of reason on this. It's happened 183 times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no small number, and there's no set. There's no set time frame for it. They average it out to say, oh, well, every 450,000 years it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
But that implies it happens every 450,000 years. And it doesn't. There have been millions of years where it didn't occur at all.
Right.
And then there's been times where it's occurred many times in just a million years. So, you know, that time frame, you just can't predict it. You can't, you know, it has to do with a lot of things. If we look at solar influence on the Earth, we looked at the Earth's magnetic field influence on the tectonic action, there's really, as far as we can tell so far within the science world, no direct correlation that says that a slowly shifting magnetic pole causes tectonic shifts and earthquakes.
Well, here's something to think about, and I used to have that feeling too. But here's something that you have to understand that I fear, and that is, listen, when these events happen, and you said like 183 times, and you're right about that. I was reading about that today. But one thing we don't have is we don't have as many people on the planet with these activities as we do now. We have, you know, nearly 8 billion on the planet, and we have everything now relying on electromagnetics and electronics, IoT, and all that stuff. So would it affect us a lot worse if we had electromagnetic surge or geomagnetic reversal? Not just that, but just the idea of some EMP or CME that could cause space weather to come down and wipe out a lot of things.
Yeah. We're far more likely to get a CME impacting us with some somewhat devastating effect, like a Carrington event again.
Mm-hmm.
We're more likely to get one of those than a very slow motion geomagnetic reversal. Because here's the thing: there's animals that rely on the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Birds, obviously, migrations. Okay, geese use magnetic fields for navigation.
Mm-hmm.
How come they never get lost? It's because this takes place over a long, long period of time, thousands of years typically,
mm-hmm.
and so there's time for them to adapt. Now, you were right before when you talked about, like, for instance, satellite technology. You talked about crashing planes and things like that. Is that related? Actually, I don't think it is. And the reason I don't think it is because the systems on the plane are updated to take advantage of the latest GPS coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, GPS does not depend on the magnetic field directly at all. It depends on satellite positioning, you know.
But don't they depend on the magnetic field a little bit? I mean, not depend on it, but
well,
I mean, it has to be a safe magnetic field to keep the information intact.
Well, that's where the however's coming.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Small butt coming.
No,
go ahead.
No, it's coming, man. It's coming. Okay. Turn off your air conditioner.
All right.
So the however is. That the satellite environment is affected greatly by the magnetic field because the magnetic field stores charged particles from the sun,
mm-hmm.
and those charged particles from the sun are what create the Van Allen radiation belts,
mm-hmm.
which are charged particles trapped in our magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So if the magnetic field is diving around and changing, getting thicker and thinner, it will affect the satellite environment, and the space environment is crucial to understanding the safety of our satellites in orbit. So that's another huge problem that we do face. And yes, a slow motion change to our geomagnetic environment is going to cause changes in how we orbit satellites potentially.
Yeah. Mark D'Antonio with us tonight on Grounds. I have a question for you about the latest findings of protons in the Van Allen belts, or at least a couple belts that were generated after a huge solar storm in 2024, May. Mark D'Antonio with us on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
We'll be right back. I'll die in the end. I want to know what my future holds.
Growing up, the North Magnetic Pole was in northern Canada. It was never where Santa is. Okay? So Earth's magnetic pole is shifted from our rotation pole. And it's not stationary. You check it late. That North Pole has been moving, and it is now passing the North Pole on its way to Siberia.
What?
Yes, and pretty soon it'll be Putin's North Pole. On top of all that, the magnetic field is getting weaker. And we think it's going to get weaker and weaker until it goes away, and then when it comes back again, it'll be in reverse because it flips every time. We worry that when the magnet field goes away to flip again, that while it's not there, we'll put all of us at risk. Yeah. So we go back to the fossil record because it's flipped before. And if you go to the points where it has flipped, there's no periods of mass extinction. If it wreaked havoc, it was not global catastrophe.
What's wrong?
The pulse rates are spiking again. They're huge.
Are you serious? Tim?
I'm about to have a major quake.
I jumped to a 7.1! Jesus, Tim, get the hell out of there!
Run!
You're listening to Ground Zero. Mark D'Antonio with us tonight. Talking about pole shift, magnetic occurrences, CMEs, EMPs, everything that could cause all kinds of havoc. Now, I was reading this article, Mark, about the there was a solar storm that happened on May of 2024. And apparently, scientists now are saying that this blast of solar particles was so huge, it shook the magnetic field, and people saw beautiful colors everywhere in the lower latitudes. I remember that. But apparently now they're saying the Earth was girded by two new temporary radiation belts of high-energy particles trapped by the planet's magnetic field. Protons, they're saying. Yeah. Scientists are going, what the heck? What does this mean? And how long were they going to last before they decay, do you think?
Well, the thing about that is, Earth has two main radiation belts generally, right? There's an inner, there's an outer belt. Well, sometimes with a strong solar storm, a third belt gets generated, and these are what they call ultra-relativistic protons, meaning they're moving near but not at the speed of light because particles can't move at the speed of light like that. So those ultra-relativistic particles moving very quickly end up in this what they call a transient third belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that transient third belt is as we say, temporary. It's created from these very fast-moving particles, and the Earth's magnetic field will trap these particles temporarily. The thing about that is that there are events like the Carrington event and others, the May event, where some of these ultra-relativistic particles, very fast-moving particles, were trapped and did form a third Van Allen belt, which is those particles trapped in our magnetic field. And that causes the Van Allen belts to swell and shrink. When they get more particles, they get bigger. When they get less, they shrink. Now imagine you're in a spacecraft and you're traveling from the Earth to, let's say, the Moon, okay, or Mars. Well, if such a CME occurs while you're launching into the air, the CME strikes the Earth, it's going to be causing this potential third belt to form, and potentially dangerous radiation is going to hit you for longer. Now, the Apollo astronauts got around that by going out when the Van Allen radiation belts were at their thinnest, sort of near the poles. And so they were able to get away and get out and get to the Moon. The space weather environment is the most important thing for us to consider when we go into space. And you're right. There were these very, very highly energetic protons. And protons and electrons coming from the sun is called the solar wind. Mm-hmm. They're normal. Mm-hmm. They're always coming this way. But high amounts of them, usually expelled with coronal mass ejections, are the things that we look out for. you know. And so you're right that they could cause some problems, especially for the space weather around these satellites. And we've got to be very careful about that.
I always am curious, too, about that rift we're having in the Atlantic right now, that strange the division that's happening with it. Apparently it's dividing itself up. I hear it's even partly to blame for the splitting of apparently a landmass in Africa that's creating an inner ocean. I was just curious. That's a very powerful anomaly, and they warn satellites and planes and everything to stay out of there. What are we seeing in that? I mean, what people who are in the middle of this this type of, I guess you could say, eddy. I think that's what it would be. Probably is it eddy or like almost like a black hole, but not a black hole, of electromagnetic energy. What do they experience in that area?
That's actually a good question. I think I'd have to be cautious about responding to that because I don't know exactly what they found there. I do know, though, about this rift, and I also know that sometimes when the radiation belts are energetic, that it poses a danger to astronauts because the ISS is, you know, 252 miles up, and sometimes it could pass through one of those, the inner belt of the Van Allen belt. And if it's highly energetic, well, it could be dangerous to our astronauts. And I think they have a protocol for moving into one particular unit, a module, which is specially shielded so that they could pass through it. I'm not sure if they've had to do that recently, but that might be related to that rift you're talking about.
Yeah, the South Atlantic anomaly. I've talked about it before. Weakened magnetic field, splitting now. It was South Africa, now it's splitting into two different regions with weakening areas in South America as well. It says here, can affect navigation systems, communication technologies, relying on accurate compass readings, satellite signals, and GPS signals.
That's right. And so one of the things that is a problem with that is because it's a weaker magnetic field in that area, charged particles from the sun can actually get closer to the Earth and damage us, damage pilots flying through that region. Every time pilots fly, even now, because they're higher in altitude, they actually have to monitor how much additional exposure they're getting as they fly. And so there are limits and limitations to what they can do.
So they actually monitor their radiation exposures?
They do, and they have to, because as they're flying through the air every single day, you know, they're living at 35, 40,000 feet every day for hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the radiation up there is more intense than it is down on the Earth's surface where the atmosphere protects from a lot of it. So they do have to be very careful about their exposure to solar radiation and other rays coming from the sun. It's a very interesting thing I learned a long time ago. And I think that's probably why I determined I wasn't going to be a pilot, you know. I didn't want to deal with that.
No. Well, I mean, it stands to reason, you know, because if you've been on a long flight, I've been on a long flight before, really long, just tiring. It just wears you down. And it's not because of jet lag either. It's just because, you know, you're up there and you're right there, like you say, you're practically living in this type of atmosphere and type of this radioactivity or this magnetic activity. And, Mark, we're going to come back with some phone calls right now. Mark D'Antonio with us on Ground Zero. Great show tonight. 503-225-0860. If you have any questions about this magnetic instability, 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Mark D'Antonio with us tonight on Ground Zero, talking about everything from pole shifts to magnetic disturbances, CMEs, EMPs. I mean, it's a scary thing. You can't see these things, but you know they happen when everything shuts off. You know, EMP is something that I always worry about because it's just... It's like it's a nuclear attack without a nuclear attack, or seeing the bomb, or seeing the flash. Mm-hmm. I mean, how far does a bomb have to be up there for it to create an EMP?
It depends on the yield of the bomb, of course. But one of the things about these EMPs, and these are electromagnetic pulses we're talking about, is they affect everything that is on the surface and underground, but underground less than surface. So guess what? Our entire grid, electrical grid, is what? In the air, on the surface.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, there are laws of physics that we all learned when we getting our degrees in our sciences. And in the physics world, there are induced EMFs, so induced currents, that are thrown into wires due to interactions with the environment. Things like protons streaming in from the sun that stream down over the poles. They actually stream down over the poles. We see the beautiful auroras and say, oh, what pretty beautiful green and red skies. However, that belies the fact that we've got hundreds of thousands of volts of electricity coming down into the poles, going into the bedrock and traveling through the bedrock at high speed and getting to things like electrical towers, electrical substations. And what do? They overload these electrical towers and these substations. They arc across the gaps, and they cause outages. You know, and it's interesting how in blackouts, when people look up and they see what's that ribbon of light through the sky,
mm-hmm.
I've seen that for the first time. It's called the Milky Way. They've never seen it in a big city. But if they have a major outage, they're going to see a lot more of them, you know. So they have to be careful. And so these high-energy particles can do damage to our electrical grid. And that's the thing that the EMPs can take down,
mm-hmm.
is the immediate effect will be our electrical grid. Secondary effect, maybe simultaneous effect, will be to take satellites out of the sky. Right, because mm-hmm. EMP has to reach up there. So if it's something that originates on the ground and goes up into the sky, it may not reach satellites, but it originates in space.
What about computer chips in your car? That would be counted on those ones.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And
drive, anything.
Anything, I said, anything on the surface and underground to a certain extent. Now, you can make a shielded, cage, basically, that can prevent any EMP from penetrating. And this cage, in fact, I know a scientist friend of mine who actually built one under his house to store all of his very sensitive gear. And he was a nuclear scientist with Livermore. And it will protect you. If you're down there, you would never know the EMP happened. It could be a really, really heavy-duty EMP. But this thing called a Faraday cage would protect him and any equipment. So we're not prepared for such a thing. And that's the problem I've always had. And my book, The Populated Universe, I even talk about this. I mention, you know, our electrical grid is the most archaic thing we've ever invented.
Yeah.
You know, underground wiring at the very least would have been better, you know.
Well, I always thought, you know, when I was younger, I always thought in the future we wouldn't see wires over,
right.
over cities. We
yeah,
have them, and it's
too.
Like nothing's changed. It's like if somebody was to, you know, I guess, you know, if they were to, you know, go into a time warp from 1955 to 2025 and they'd say,
oh gosh.
We thought that we wouldn't have to have wires. I mean, whatever happened to the idea that you can just plug into the air, like Tesla said, and get power, you know?
I
agree.
I've been intrigued by Tesla's experiments. I mean, there are ground currents. So my question was, what would it take to actually, for real, tap ground currents? And where do they come from? Well, they come from charged particles in the Earth's crust, which come from the sun primarily. And so how would we get that current out of the ground? Well, that's the thing. If we're talking about the electric fields generated in the core of the Earth, well, those are thousands of miles deep into the Earth,
yeah.
and they generate a magnetic field, which is where our magnetic field comes from. Now, the magnetic field as was mentioned by, I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson that mentioned it earlier on your program, the magnetic field is going to weaken. It happened on Mars. And Mars used to have a much thicker atmosphere,
yeah.
An atmosphere was kind of similar to ours.
Mm-hmm.
But when its magnetic field died, that ultraviolet radiation could make it all the way to the surface on Mars, and it split up water molecules,
yeah.
Drove the hydrogen off the planet, oxygen went into the crust, and caused rust when it bonded with iron compounds,
and
that's why Mars is red.
And we're not worried about an ELE. I would say there are a lot of factors I think we need to work into this. It's kind of creepy to think about. I want to go to some calls, too, before we run out of time. Always
sorry.
Interesting. No problem. Let's go to Babs in Nebraska. Hey, Babs, you're on Ground Zero with Mark D'Antonio. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mark just almost answered the question I had, which is, what would happen to atmospheric particles if there was a weakness in the magnetic field?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, there is a weakness now in the magnetic field. That's called, as Clyde mentioned earlier, the South Atlantic Anomaly. And it's very important to manage that. Now, as far as the atmospheric particles go, the oxygen and the nitrogen, there won't be much changed by an increase in an electrical current. After all, don't forget we've got millions upon millions upon millions of lightning strikes on the planet, which is much hotter electrical energy arcing through the atmosphere, and it doesn't do any permanent damage. It does, you do smell the ozone. You do see that there's some chemical transformations that occur in a lightning strike, but for the most part, you don't see a whole lot of change with things like a weakened magnetic field. We're not going to see that. Maybe in the long term, but as I said, these geomagnetic reversals take thousands of years to occur, and you really can't believe, and you shouldn't put any credence or credibility in the internet, memes by people that got their degree on Google who are trying to tell you that it happens in like 15 minutes, or a day. Yeah, you see that all the time. And those are people just trying to get clicks on their website.
Well, I saw the sun one time do it. It took 12 hours. Sun's magnetic poles changed, and it was interesting to watch. I was freaking out. I thought it was the coolest thing I ever saw.
Well, you know what? Solar flares, knots in the solar lines, if you call the magnetic field lines in the sun, do burst and pop. And it will take about 6 to 10 hours to actually see it because it's so big.
Well, there's a magnetic shift on the sun, and NASA was monitoring it, and it was amazing to watch because they had you saw the magnetic field changing, and I was just like, well, I didn't know that happened on the sun. Hey, Babs, thanks for the call. Oh, we're out of time. Damn. We can get to some more calls, but in the meantime, hey, Mark, this is a very informative show. I really enjoyed this because we need to know more about this because I just get the sense that the magnetic waves below the planet are kind of having some, perturbations going on, maybe seeing some electromagnetic tinkering, environmental modification going on. And in the meantime, we see these things happen with earthquakes in various places and maybe even plane crashes and boat crashes. So I just thought it'd be interesting to entertain this idea. And Mark, thank you so much for giving us the facts. I really do appreciate
this.
Thank you.
You bet. Great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Remember, guys, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it ground zero. And by the way, OBZ Ambiance coming up. Remember, go to groundzeroplus.com. Chris of the UK is providing groundzeroplus.com, a place where you can go and find out what's going on with our transition. What's happening, how you're going to benefit from the transition. Also, if you're having any problems with Rovitics Media or Aftermath, groundzeroron@gmail.com. We just need your email, your name, and just how much time you have left on your subscription, okay? All right, Ambiance Zero coming up. Don't go away.